So take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, we read verse 5 together, and we'll look at the whole chapter this evening. It's not a very long one, but it's a great psalm, and I trust that it will be a blessing to us this evening as we consider this thought and consider the thought of discouragement. Sometimes it comes into our life. I entitled a message this evening, Encouragement for the Heavy Heart. I don't think there's a person alive who has not been discouraged, downcast, particularly as Christians, of course. We realize that we face discouragement in the Christian life as well. And life is not, as a Christian, is not easy. God doesn't say, okay, now you're my child. I'm just going to, you can go to the skies on flowery beds of ease. We face trials and difficulties in our life, and of course, they sometimes cause us to be a little discouraged and down. They say that this time of the year is affects people with SAD, right? That seasonal affective disorders, the shorter days and less bright, less light, and so on. And sometimes people get discouraged and downcast a little bit more because of this time of years, this time of the year and the season and so on. And, things happen that bring us down and discourage us in our lives. In many ways, it's found in the scriptures, just like we see it in our lives today. David faced it. David faced discouragement. Saul faced discouragement. Others in the scriptures did as well. And if we had time to look at the life of most of the people in the Bible, we'd probably find that there were times in their life that the Bible records that they had down times. They had discouraging times. They had times when they were unsettled. And so we realize it's something that's common to humanity. I do believe that there's mental illness that goes beyond, of course, just discouragement. We can just be sometimes down and discouraged a little bit. But there is obviously that which goes beyond being discouraged or disheartened. It would be foolish to think that our bodies could face physical infirmities and not that our minds and our and that would not face the same thing. If we can have illness that affects our joints and our physical bodies, then it makes sense that there would be things that would affect our mental state also. And so there are things definitely that are taken into consideration that way. And just as we go to the doctor for some physical things, so it is also with some of those things as well. It's something that needs to be addressed and looked into sometimes. Having said that, I believe that just as there's help sometimes for physical ailments, well, all the time for physical ailments, sometimes we need to spend some time in prayer, and God heals and God delivers and God does that. And I believe that He can do the same thing with our mental state as well. And so sometimes it takes prayer, it takes change of activity, and it takes some decisions in our life physically to change things. And so the same thing can be said for our mental health as well. And I also believe in saying that we need to be careful of some of the world's philosophies in treating mental illness. There's a lot of psychology that is based on humanism and Eastern mysticism and religion and so on that is not good for a Christian to consider and follow after that way. So we need to be careful about those things. When we think of the message tonight, I'm recognizing really more this as the spiritual discouragements that we face in our lives. And I believe that's what the psalmist is dealing with here, is those times of down times when, as Christians in our life, where we need to be encouraged and just edified and realize that there's much of hope in the Lord, and He can help us and He will help us through those times of difficulty. See, our state of mind has much to do with our success and failures in life, doesn't it? You don't have to look very far in the Bible to realize that that is the case. You think about David when he faced Goliath, and you realize that his positive outlook on life based on his faith in God helped him to take a situation on that was, humanly speaking, crazy. And yet he saw a great victory in that situation. He was encouraged to trust God, and he trusted God, and God delivered him. His outlook enabled him to do that. He said, "The battle's not mine, it's the Lord's. The Lord is on my side, therefore I'm going forward." On the other side of the coin, we find Elijah, the great prophet, who faced 400 prophets of Baal and 450 other prophets, and he set a contest upon Mount Carmel, and he won a great victory that day. Great time of encouragement. But the next chapter in Kings there in chapter 19, we find that he is discouraged because he gets a letter from the queen, Jezebel, that says, listen, you think that you took care of some of the prophet, false prophets yesterday? You just wait till I get a hold of you. And he became downcast. And what was his result? He prayed, God, it's not worth it. Just take away my life right now. And so we'd realize that his outlook on life changed. He got discouraged. He got downcast. And we look at the difference between the two. David faced Goliath, a 9-foot-tall giant, based on trusting God to deliver him from the paw of a lion and the paw of a bear. On the other hand, we see Elijah, who had faced all kinds of opposition from those other prophets. And he'd seen God do a great thing. He'd seen God send fire down from heaven and seen Israel cry out, the Lord, He is God. We're going to serve Him. And yet he's downcast and discouraged because one woman says, listen, I'm going to get you for that. And so our state of mind has much to do with our success in life, especially as believers. Many believers have seen great victory because they've chosen to trust God despite the odds. And yet, on the other hand, many have been defeated because of a heavy heart and discouragement. And so tonight, with this in mind, I'd like us to preach a message again I've entitled Encouragement for the Heavy Heart. Psalm 42, verse 1 says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember Thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of Thy waterspouts. All Thy waves and Thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful for this portion of Scripture tonight. We thank You, Lord, for the honesty of the Word of God to record the discouraged times of believers of times gone by so that we can learn from them and we can learn how to be encouraged as they were encouraged. And so, Lord, we thank You for the accurate picture that You portray of these people, saints of old, whose lives we can look at. You've told us that their lives are written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And so we come to You tonight looking to this chapter and asking You to help us, Lord, to be encouraged and strengthened, perhaps if we're down. Lord, it may be that we're not discouraged and down tonight, but we may be tomorrow or next week or in the next little while, and maybe some things from this message tonight would help us in that time to be encouraged. For Lord, we know at some point, sooner or later, we will be discouraged or we'll be disquieted. Our hearts will be disquieted and, Lord, we'll need to be reminded of this portion of Scripture. And I pray that it thus would be a help and a blessing to us. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to see, first of all, the thirsting for God. In verses 1 and 2, thirsting for God. I don't think there's any of us that don't know what it means to be thirsty. We know we get out working on a hot day or running around on a hot day in the summertime and we soon get very thirsty. We get doing some dry work and you get very thirsty quite quickly. And so he talks about thirst here, something we're well familiar with, but he's speaking about the thirst of a deer or a hart. A hart is a stag or male deer being referred to here. And the psalmist said that deer pants or cries after the water brooks. it's usual to see deer in or around the water. We often see them in the backyard here at the church. Deer, you know, five, six, seven, I said a couple weeks ago, there were seven deer out there. Why is there so many deer here? Well, it's just down the street is the river. They come along there, and some of us have seen them in the grass by the river there. They like to be near the water. Obviously, it's a natural place for them to quench their thirst. Water is required for life for deer, just like it is for human beings. And they pant after it. They desire to have it. You can imagine the dry conditions of the East and how those deer would be more thirsty, perhaps, even than the deer around here. But they would be thirsty for those water brooks. They desired to be there. They cried after, they panted after the water to have their thirst quenched. And the psalmist said that is an illustration of how he felt in his thirst for God. He says his soul panted after God. He thirsted after God and desired to spend time with Him. I wonder if the same could be said about us as Christians. And we realize that man was created for fellowship with God. Sin broke that fellowship. In Christ, we're restored to that opportunity and that privilege of fellowship with God. But the question is, do we desire it? Do we look forward to it? Do we think, I need it? Not just that it would be nice as it is, but do I realize that I need that fellowship with God on a daily basis? You know, the world is a dry, barren place for the Christian. Well, there may be lots of bottles of water that you can buy from the store or pop or what have you, but I'm talking about spiritually, the world is a dry place for the believer. There's nothing thirst-quenching in this world for the Christian. So our heart should cry out to God to be refreshed from that fellowship with Him. Personal time spent with Him daily. Time spent with fellow believers like tonight in church where we are fed and we're given that water of the Word of God to encourage us and to quench our desire. Psalm 63 verse 1 says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Can the same be said of us, Christian, that we thirst after, we desire to have that time with God to quench our thirst, that we pant after, that we say, I need that? I believe that many issues we face in Christendom at large today is due to a lack of thirst for God. It's a sad thing that many believers go about their days not only without having spent some time with God, but without having desired to spend time with God, without even thinking about spending time with God. We can say, well, I didn't spend some time with the Lord, but did you miss not spending time with the Lord today if you didn't spend time with Him? Many Christians can go day after day without not only spending time with Him, but without even thinking to spend time and without missing time spent with God. You know, it's in life. Usually things that are good for us, we have to acquire a taste for them, don't we? Because our senses get chocolate bars taste a lot better than a piece of lettuce. I mean, let's just face it. I think most people would agree with me. Maybe not everybody. Most people would agree with me that, you know, if you had on the table some, you know, pile of lettuce or a chocolate bar, you'd probably say, yeah, that chocolate bar is pretty tasty, or that cookie, that muffin. But many times our taste buds acquire the taste for the wrong thing. And we think that that will satisfy when in reality what we need is the healthier things. The veggies. Those things that are good for us, we have to acquire a taste for them. Because our taste buds have been dulled by the junk food that we eat. You know, many Christians have had their spiritual taste buds so filled with the junk of this world that we say, I don't thirst for God. Well, it's time that we get our taste buds acquired back to the taste of what really satisfies, and that's time spent with God. That we desire and realize that that's what we need, and when we start eating, you know, if you start eating healthy food, and you acquire that taste for it, you will enjoy it, and not only you enjoy it, you realize that it helps me feel better as well. Better than the junk food did that I thought was good. Christian, we need to realize that we need to have a thirst and a hunger for God and say, well, I don't really feel like that today. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like going to church. Well, just spend some time doing it and ask God to give you that desire to do it, and you realize how much better your life will be, how much more encouraged you will be in your Christian life when you thirst for God and find that quenching of thirst in time spent with Him. The reality is that we will never get victory in our lives until we have a thirst for God and satisfy that thirst by spending time with Him. We need it. You realize that when somebody is ill, that what does the doctor say amongst medication, perhaps, they say you need to change your diet, you need to start eating more healthy, you need more vitamins, you need these things to get to give your body the strength to get over this illness or to give you the strength to go through this. Christian, we're in a battle every day in our life, and if we don't build up our soul by spending time with God, how are we ever going to face those battles and be victorious? And so the psalmist begins this great psalm and he says, my soul thirsts after God. I desire to be with Him. I look forward to the time that I can spend with Him. But he had to say at this point in time that he felt distant from God. And that we see in verses 3 and 4, as he says, my heart desires, when am I going to see God? But then he says, my tears have been my meat day and night. He says, I feel distant from God. He's felt some sad times that took place in his life. Tears were a regular part of that. They were his daily lot. Tears caused by his enemies constantly attacking his faith. Hey, where's your God? How come your God's not there today? Why are you living in defeat? Isn't your God helping you? That's what he said. They continually say to me, where is your God? Why isn't your God helping you? Why isn't your God delivering you in this situation? Why doesn't God do something for you? If your God was as great as you say, why hasn't He done something to help you? We go through difficult times in our lives, and sometimes tears seem to be a big part of it. Some of it's just because of living in a fallen world, and we do live in a fallen world today. There are trials and difficulties in our life. Some of our sad times, our difficulties, are the intentional attack of the enemy. The Bible says that the devil is a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle. That means it's a fight. We're supposed to take unto us the whole armor of God because it's a battle that we face. And sometimes in our difficulty, others may question our faith and say, where is your God now? And tears flow as we wonder how long and when we will be delivered, because God may seem like He's not right there. The psalmist said, I look back and I think of those precious times when I spent time with the multitude in the house of God. He had some precious memories even during those sad times. He looked back and he said, I remember in these things and I pour out my soul because I'd gone to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise. But today it's not that way. But I looked back and I saw those days and I remembered those times of fellowship with God and His people. Times of worship. Worship on those days, those holy days, he says there. Whether he's referring to the Sabbath day or one of those special feasts that Israel had. He said, I remember times when we worshiped God together. It was such a joyful time, such a special time. But now it's not that time. Now it's difficult, and now my tears are flowing on a regular basis. In some ways, the memories, though they stirred his heart, and they are precious memories, perhaps they seem to mock his current situation. Why isn't it that way now? Why isn't it a happy time all the time? Where is God who I worshipped in those happy times? Now, memories can be a helpful thing when we're struggling with discouragement. Sometimes they can cause us to wonder, well, then why isn't it like that today? Why isn't it like it now? But it's good, as David did, or the psalmist here said, listen, I've got those times to look back on, and they were an encouragement to him at this time. Even though he kind of questioned it, still, it was an encouragement to look back. Hey, we've had some great times in worshiping God. We've had some great times of fellowship together. This morning we referred in the message a little bit to the prodigal son. What was it that brought the prodigal son back? It was when he was in the pig pen and he fain would fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. He came to himself and he said, well, at my father's house, I had everything I needed. Everything was good there. I'd be better off to be a servant at home than to be where I am now. It was the memories of his father's love, the memories of his father's provision, the memories of the blessings of fellowship in his father's house that said, I need to go back there and I need to say to my father, Father, I've sinned and I'm no more worthy to be called your son, but I just want to be here. It was those precious memories that took him back and motivated his journey home. Now, we're not to live in the past, but God does call us to remember the past to help us in those times of discouragement. He told Israel to remember that they had been bondmen in the house of Egypt, but God had brought them out with a strong arm. Christian, we need to remember that, yes, we were sinners and with no hope, but the Lord sent Jesus Christ, and Christ died on the cross, and He provided that salvation, and He gave us hope, He gave us that salvation. Do you remember the time when you were saved? That's a time to look back to when you're in discouragement to say, man, God delivered me. He saved my soul. What a great God. Israel was told, and the early church even was told, in Hebrews chapter 10, he says, call to remembrance the early years when you went through a lot of trials and difficulties, but you were faithful to God. Remember those times that God proved His faithfulness to you. Israel was called to look back in Deuteronomy 8:2. God said to them, remember how I led you through the wilderness, through those dry and barren places, how I provided for you, and I led you and looked after you and protected you. And so it is in our lives when we're facing these times in our life where we're cast down, we can say, listen, I remember what God did for me. He's a great God, and I know He'll do something to help me. There are times in our life where we feel distant from God, but we must remember that He has not changed. His Word has not changed. He will keep His Word. And we also have the promise that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I'm with you. You may feel distant, and sometimes our feelings are strange things, but God is never far away. He lives within you if you're His child. He's not far away. He's right there. And so the psalmist came to this realization and he recognized then his hope in God. In verse 5, as we have it for our verse, and we read it together, and we read it again in the message tonight. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. I believe he recognizes his hope here in the middle of this chapter. He's discouraged. He's down, but he calls to remembrance some things and they cause him to hope in God. I think he realizes that he needs to be honest with himself. Who's he talking to in verse 5? Himself. Why are you cast down, soul? It's like he put the mirror in front of him and he said, what's your problem? Why are you cast down? In the midst of his despair, he talks to himself about where he's at, asking himself the reason, why are you downcast? To be cast down means to sink or depress, to bow down or bring low. We say that's discouragement. To be disquieted means to be in commotion or tumult, to rage or war, clamor, to be troubled. Speaking of that lack of inner peace, a troubled heart. I'm sure that we've all been in both those situations. Sometimes you're discouraged and you're down, and other times it seems like there's just a war going on within, and there's that lack of rest, and you're disquieted inside, and you think, what is going on? And you have to say to yourself, soul, what is going on? What are you going through here? What are you doing? Psalmist says, why? Do you have reason, soul, to feel this way? You have to do an honest evaluation of his current state of mind and soul. He answers his own question with a resolve to hope in God, recognizing that despite his situation, God was still God and was still his help. You know, there are times we just need to get honest with ourselves, don't we? We need to stop and think about what we're doing. What's going on? Why are we discouraged? Why are we downcast? Evaluate our situation honestly before the Lord. Do I have good cause to be discouraged or downcast? Or is it my pride or an expectant heart that thought, I deserve better than this? Is it because I haven't been thirsting for God? Is it because I felt distant from God? Why am I cast down? Just to honestly evaluate where I'm at, what's going on in my heart and in my soul. And then remember the faithfulness of God and His promises to us. He hasn't changed. He'll always keep His word. And He's worthy of our praise. So he gets honest with himself. Why, soul? Why are you cast down? But then in verse 6, he also gets honest with God. He calls out to God. He's talked to himself. And now he says, God, my soul is cast down in me. Lord, I'm discouraged. Verse 9, he says, I will say to God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? You know, unfortunately, there are times in our life where we think we can hide how we're feeling from God. I don't want God to know how I'm feeling, so I'm not going to tell Him. We may be able to hide it from other people and successfully do it sometimes, and other times, not so much. We may think we've put on a happy face, but somebody says, are you okay? I thought I was hiding it pretty good. We can't never hide it from God. So why try? If He's the help of our countenance, why try and hide what we're going through from Him? Usually it's when we're in the greatest need of talking to God that we try and pretend, oh, everything's okay. Yeah, Lord, I'm having a great day. Everything's just grand. Everything's rosy. Don't we learn from the very first time that man tried to hide from God that it doesn't work? God called, Adam, where are you? We should learn that we cannot hide from God. We cannot hide from His love and His care. He knows us better than we know ourselves. But really, God can't help us until we're honest with ourselves and honest with Him, can He? We're trying to just cover over it and paint over it and put a coat of paint and say, everything's good, Lord. How is He going to help us? The psalmist said, Lord, my soul's cast down. I need you, Lord. I need you to help me. If you're struggling with discouragement, you need to talk to the Lord. Be honest with Him. If you think God's let you down, you need to be honest with Him about that too. David said here, the psalmist said here, I will say to God, why have you forgotten me? We'll soon find out, and the psalmist found out, God hadn't forgotten him. God was there all along, but you know, we need to be honest and talk to the Lord, not disrespectfully, but Lord, help me. They were struggling with sin. Same thing. Talk to God about it. He knows. He wants to help. 1 John 1 makes it very clear that if we pretend that we haven't sinned when we know we have, we're just deceiving ourselves. But if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that we can get the victory, so we can carry on. He tells us He's our friend. He told the disciples, He said, I call you not servants, but I've called you friends. He tells us to bear one another's burdens, but then he also says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. How are we ever going to cast our burden on the Lord if we don't want to admit that we have a burden there? The Bible records that Moses spoke with God as a man speaks to his friend. Moses faced discouragement. What did he do? He talked to the Lord as his friend. After telling us that there's nothing unknown to him, God also told us that Jesus understands our infirmities and that we can come boldly before him. It's Hebrews chapter 4. He knows our infirmity. He knows our frame. He knows who we are. And he says we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Sometimes we think if I tell people how I really feel, they think less of me. And I wonder if sometimes that's what we think. If I tell God I'm discouraged, maybe he won't love me. He won't care. Hey, his love is always the same. He loves us. He cares for us. He wants to help us. Be honest with God. And remember his presence. In verses 6, again down to verse 8, we find out that the focus is turned to God. At the end of verse 6, he says, I will remember thee, Lord God, I'll remember thee from the land of Jordan, of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. He's not in Jerusalem right now. He's in Jordan, but he says, Lord, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm going to remember who you are and what you've done for me and that you're with me. I can enjoy your presence, Lord, here, even though it's not the place that I want to be. Seems like he was in the middle of a storm, doesn't it? Deep calls unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All the waves and thy billows are gone over me. I mean, I feel like I'm sinking, Lord. But, verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the nighttime his song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. May have been the storm, feeling like he was going to drown, but he remembered the loving kindness of God. It may have been the night rather than the daytime, but he could still sing and pray because he realized that God was there. He wasn't in the circumstances that he enjoyed, but he could rely on God's love to him in those circumstances. You know, we may not always be in the place that we want to be and the place we would choose to be, but as Christians, we can always rejoice in the presence of God in those circumstances and in those situations. We say, Lord, take me out of this and put me into the nice, comfy spot. God says, that may not be what I have for you right now, but I want to tell you I'm with you where you are. Isn't that what he said in Isaiah 43? When you pass through the waters, when you pass through the rivers, they won't overflow, overflow you, and when you go through the fire, you won't be burned. He didn't say, I'll take you out of it. He says, I'll be with you in it. Life is not always favorable, but God is always with us as believers. And really, you look at what he says here. He realized that deep calls unto deep at the noise of God's waterspouts. What's he saying? God, you're in control of this storm. I don't need to worry about it. No, the disciples found out when Jesus calmed the storm, when he was sleeping in the ship, and they thought they were going to drown, and they woke him up and said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus said, peace be still. And they said, wow, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? They learned a valuable lesson that day, didn't they? God was in control of the storm, and he could do something about it. You know, it's in the fact that we learn, in the dark times, we learn his ability to give songs in the night. And where we learn to pray some of our most sincere prayers. It's been said that when we realize that all we have is God, we realize that God is all we need. And David's getting to that point. The psalmist here, he's talking about that and he says, Lord, I'm in the middle of this. I don't understand it. I feel like you've forgotten me. I'm going to talk to you about it, Lord, but ultimately I know you're there. I know you're there. And so he ends verse 11 is very similar to verse number 5, but I believe there's a couple differences. He says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me?" That part is the same. "Hope thou in God." That part is the same. "For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." It's almost exactly word for word of what it is, but I believe he's come to a different place in his life by the time he says it. He's realized, "God, you are my God. You know, soul, you really don't have anything to worry about after all. Because he is still God. And he's still there. And he's in control of this. And he can do anything that he wants. And he is God. And so therefore, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him. He is the health of my countenance." See that in verse number 5, he's the help of his countenance. In verse number 11, he's the health. God is the health of his countenance. God helps us and he is the health. Our countenance is our demeanor, our face. He's the one who gives us the help so that we can have, as it were, the health of our countenance. He recognized that God was his hope and the things that he was facing were not meant to hurt him, but to help him. He'd gotten honest with himself and he was honest with God. And he said, "I may not be where I'd like to be, but I'm going to praise God because he's my hope." I don't know about you, but my soul sometimes gets cast down. Sometimes I feel disquieted within me. Sometimes it happens, seems like it happens more than it should. But we see here that we're not strange for dealing with those things in our life. It happens to the best of believers, according to this being written by the psalmist himself. So I ask you tonight, how's your thirst for God? Because that's where he begins. He was thirsting for God. Do you have a desire to spend time with God every day? Not just because it's a chore, but because you thirst for him. Be sure to quench your thirst that comes from in this barren land by spending time with God. Do you feel distant from God? The psalmist did, but remember, God hasn't moved. He hasn't left you. He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He's just waiting for you to look up to him and say, "Lord, help me." You cast down, disquieted. Be honest with yourself about it. Be honest with God about it. Hope in God, because he is the help and health of your countenance.